What's up, everybody? DJ here from Move the Sticks. Along with Bucky Brooks, our podcast, we look at the NFL through a player personnel perspective, looking at teams, looking at matchups, looking at the NFL draft. You can catch us on Move the Sticks, NFL.com/podcast, as well as iTunes.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Still thinks about the gold standard sometimes. Each time the wind blows.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hanses, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Patrick Claibon.
What?
Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Patrick Claibon is the news anchor. And that is the official job title.
I checked. The only one. Started.
Yeah, we've got one. I can't believe you guys let me up here.
It's great to have you here, Patrick. Claibon, Claibon is the guy. If you're Googling right now, like, oh, who's Patrick? He's the guy that's on TV.
First of all, don't.
Literally, he's on NFL Network probably more than anyone, right? In terms of percentage of hours of coverage of the NFL to
maybe like in terms of like individual snippets.
Right.
Like the
but
you
your
the
face
guys.
Is probably on NFL Network more than any other face.
Yeah, you do the updates at the top of the hour. Here's some breaking news, or if some big trade happens, you're usually kind of like the guy in the bullpen, and it's the reason you have such a great relationship with the Around the NFL crew. You're sitting right next to them. You're just waiting for them to call you up, Coach. Big breaking news happens. Claibon's on.
Yeah, it's almost like the State of the Union, and if we get something bad happens and like 12 people go down, it's like, oh man, we got to get Patrick.
We did. This was a last second addition. Mark is at the NFL annual meeting, and we're gonna get Mark on the phone a little bit later. And literally, this is the latest the guest has ever come to get involved with the show.
You guys were walking upstairs, and I was like, hey, well, I noticed Mark's not here.
That's a great way to be. That's a great idea.
Greasy wheel. No, is it the wheel that's greasy gets the squeaks?
It's between grease and squeaks, all is evenly applied, I believe.
But welcome, Patrick. It's great to have you on the show today.
It's nice to have someone. Now Dan is always very confident. He's got the best voice in the room, and now he's got some major competition.
No, not at all. It's Dan 100%.
That's a beautiful voice Claibon has. Yeah, plus, I'm a little under the weather after a Vegas trip this weekend, which maybe we'll get to a little bit later. So I'm not operating at peak vocal
efficiency.
Efficiency, thank you. Good show today.
Or mental efficiency.
Yeah, or mental efficiency, as you can tell. Good show today. Coming up, we are going to hit all the news around the annual meeting right now. What's going on? Free agency, week three of free agency. Or is it over, Wes? Is free agency just kind of over?
It's been over since the second day.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But there are guys, there's still signings going down. And, of course, the Kaepernick thing's still hanging over several teams. But we're going to get into the news all around the league. Also, as I said, we're going to give Mark Sessler, the Sizzler, also known as the Quiet Storm, a phone call. He is in Boca Raton. And this is just Sizzler in heaven. This is Mark's, this is his peaceful place. He's on his own. He's getting to be out in the mix. Talking to different GMs and coaches. He doesn't have to be sitting in his cubicle. He's got nothing else to worry about but the
work. Free of other responsibilities, any life responsibilities. He can just be an intrepid reporter.
This is his dream, and we'll ask him about that because I think the exact schematics of today, for instance, from the moment he wakes up until he goes to bed, this is almost a perfect day for Mark. We'll get into it. He'll probably take offense. It'll be fun. We'll also talk about a segment called The Darkest Timeline, where we pick out some scenarios, realistic, plausible potential scenarios around some NFL teams that would have terrible effects on the franchise in the 2016 season if it the scenario came to fruition. That's not the most happy topic, but we got to look. There will be moves made by teams in this month that will ruin their season. It's just the way it is. And next month, the draft as well. For the next 2 months, this is where the gravy gets made.
I like it.
The doom gravy, I call it.
And it's happy in terms of we're looking at these things could not happen. So
yeah, this is the darkest timeline. Maybe we'll have a light timeline.
So maybe positive. If we have nothing to talk about, there'll be the brightest timeline.
Right.
But that's not as fun.
Nobody likes happy.
Right, Wes?
Sure.
By the way, Wes, very feisty today.
I don't know where you got this idea from.
I've heard Wes start arguments with 7 people today since you've been in.
You've only heard one.
I've been involved. I'm always tracking things, yes. Many, including me.
There was one about the NFL media softball team.
Yes.
And that's the only one?
I have eyes on talent. I'm the manager of the NFL media softball team. There is a particular woman that works at NFL media who won't say her name.
Stop now, whatever.
That I am of the belief, based on a conversation, is very talented, and we need her on the team at all costs. Wes says, no, you've never seen her play. Why would you assume?
My whole thing is that since you started this, you are already assuming who's good and who's not, and you have no idea by how they move about the newsroom if they're good players or not. I think you should hold off on decisions until you see these people on the field.
That's fair.
But this is what I'm getting at. So, you know, we got into an argument about that.
Dan, I have 17 years of softball coaching experience.
That's the real thing. He wants the GM job. He wants the coaching job. It's a coup.
Then, Greg, you got into
Where did we stand on multiple things?
Well, that's because the biggest story of the day, Greg decided was not a story.
No,
we'll get to it.
Are we going to add that to the show? Case Keenum, we putting that in the top?
Should lead with it.
We'll talk about Case Keenum. Yeah, so, and then there was another person that you were feuding with on some level. I can't remember anymore. This Feisty West, it's good.
Didn't happen.
It's good. It's very good. I love
still that last
West.
It didn't even happen. Just making it.
When
up
I think
now.
Of it, I will say who it is. So that's the show today, and let's start by going behind the glass now, saying hi to the Irishman, Brandon McGinnis.
Dan, how you doing?
How was your St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, it was very good. We taped early, got out of here, had a nice time.
You have a Guinness?
Of course. Dan, I got to ask, though, what's the current situation with my roster spot?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
You know what? It's funny you ask that because, first of all, of course, you can be involved with the tryout process. But we've had enough people ask that I can't say yes to everyone at this point.
Whoa.
I didn't take that as a slight.
Roster request that starts with first of all.
Well, I mean, we talked about a week ago.
Yeah.
I haven't had an update yet.
It's definitely something that's on my mind, and it's I have it written down.
Sort of fascinated how he gets tryout process, and this other woman that you were talking about is already, like, the starting second baseman or whatever.
Well, you know what?
Challenge accepted.
Sometimes.
I'll prove it to you, Dan. That's all right.
Sometimes you just, as a manager, you got to go with your gut. You're more like a Moneyball guy in metrics and studying the notebook.
No, I go with my eye.
I see it. You have
to see it first.
She's got it. She's got what it takes, the special something. All right, let's do some news.
Florida Stanley smiles. Florida Stanley is happy to go to work. Florida Stanley is who you want on your Florida team.
All right, anybody know?
No idea.
Stanley, from the – come on. It's always The Office with me. Now Mark is in Florida, working in Florida. Okay. It has to be
happening. Wow. Was that late period office, though?
Very late period.
Okay, see, I don't even really recognize late period office as something that existed. And that's as a huge American Office fan.
I understand. And I actually spliced in Mark with my voice, and it didn't sound very well. So
we missed that.
See, that's good producer effort, though.
Yeah, it just would have failed. So
pick up the chisels. Get back up on the mountainside.
That's right.
Let's start with the news. And do you want to talk about Case Keenum first?
Let's start it. Let's make Wes happy.
Well, since it's the biggest story of the day.
Debate number one.
I love that. See, not only – this is why this was such a good debate, because not only did Wes believe it belonged to the show, he thought it was the lead story. And Greg was like, I don't even know if we should talk about it.
I didn't – well, it just didn't even occur to me. I didn't think it was a big deal. We're talking about Les Snead on NFL HQ this morning said, going into OTAs, Case Keenum is their starting quarterback.
The exact quote.
Seems self-evident.
The exact quote here from Les Snead, the general manager – Case is going to come in and be our starting quarterback at the beginning of OTAs. He earned it. We were a slumping football team at the end of last year. He comes in and wins 3 out of 4 wins and basically drove us down to kick a game-winning field goal to win 4th Street, and we missed it. Wes, what do you think that means? Does that mean he's the week one starter?
Let me explain why this is a big story. So at the season-ending press conference, Les Snead basically said he's ahead of Nick Foles in the depth chart. He'll enter the offseason as a starter. any reasonable fan would have gone, okay, surely the Rams are not going to enter the 2016 season with Case Keenum as their starting quarterback. They have free agency to go through. They have trades they could possibly do. And he has left breadcrumbs throughout. At the combine, he said, oh, we've got all these studies that tell you how you can go 7-9 without a starting quarterback. Basically,
he did not say that.
That's my
adding the 7-9.
That's my
part.
Paraphrasing of what he said at the combine.
Imagine a guy pouring stuff
into
beakers.
He also, here's another thing that was said at the NFL combine a month ago. Case Keenum is our starter. So it's like, okay, he's still the starter.
Know what happened since then?
Nothing.
Free agency.
Right, but
he could have. I think any reasonable NFL fan or anybody watching, any Rams fan, was like, okay, Mike Glennon's still out there. Colin Kaepernick's still out there. Ryan Fitzpatrick's still out there. Maybe the Rams go and get one of these guys instead of starting a third-string quarterback who was concussed last year because he's too small to play the position.
Maybe they will. I mean, I wouldn't say him saying this rules that out. He also said Sam Bradford was their starter going into last season, and then they traded him.
I mean, what are your options at this point?
The bigger picture, though, and Patrick, maybe I was curious what you think about this. No matter what it is, the idea of they are now at this point in time saying that Case Keenum's a starter, this all seems so silly to me that they're actually talking themselves into this as a possibility. It's Case Keenum.
I think they've waded into the first step of acceptance, and now the idea is to explain it to everybody and say, well, yeah, this is – I'm going to rationalize why Case Keenum is our guy because he got those QB wins at the end of last year, which are the best way to determine how good somebody is at playing a position.
That's a little bit of a La Raville Magnifico of the general manager, by the way. He should know more than anyone that you can't just hang team wins on a quarterback's performance.
But he can. He's not doing it, but he wants at least somebody to say – well, yeah, he's right. Case Keenum wins football games, and so that's an okay thing.
Well,
Case Keenum is going to be our quarterback.
Well, they've looked around, and they see what's out there on free agency, and they clearly weren't excited about anyone that was available. They haven't made any inquiries as far as we know. They're not interested in Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're not interested in RG3. They'd rather have Case Keenum. Like, so that doesn't offend me necessarily.
So the team that was really excited about Nick Foles last year is not excited about anyone available this year.
Right. So
maybe we should trust their quarterback judgment.
Right, we shouldn't. But it doesn't surprise me that Case Keenum's their guy. And that we still have the draft to go.
By the way, Case Keenum, who could not beat out Nick Foles in training camp last year.
But he didn't have a – did he have a chance? They weren't really competing. He was –
well, it seems
he
to
was
me
competing.
You should be pretty open-minded. If you think he's that good now, why weren't you as open-minded and as you should have been last year?
Maybe Case Keenum is really cool. Like, he's a really good guy.
Maybe.
And Les doesn't want to go out trashing this guy. And he says, hey, you know, Case Keenum did good things. He's a person.
Hashtag wins, he's lost 10 of 15 starts in his career.
Ooh.
So you can't really –
not only a small sample size, but also recency bias.
But it's trending up.
Well, they also – they have the draft coming up. They have Sean Mannion on the roster.
Come on.
Mano.
Who knows?
Come on.
Sean O'Damano.
They got to draft – maybe they'll draft someone.
They've literally said three words about that guy since they drafted.
I guess part of my point was
he's
him, him saying this week doesn't mean to me that they're not trading for Mike Glennon. I mean, they might be trading for Mike Glennon. Who really
sure,
does?
That's
just
fine.
Just because they said this doesn't mean they're not going to do
that. That's fine. I prefer my theory, which is the Rams come up. They concoct new ways and creative ways, and they should get credit for this, to finish 7-9 every single season in perpetuity.
Well, I think we can all be right on this. They're not mutually exclusive answers. They
true.
Can be,
but
they can be totally clueless, and this can be meaningless all in one.
As we just proved, well worth talking about, though.
Indeed.
Good convo, guys.
Thank you, Dan.
Feisty.
It's so weird, though, because literally Chris Wesseling was the biggest fan of Case Keenum in the country.
Whoa.
There was a year time. Or two ago.
And Wes has clarified more like a late-season shot-in-the-arm solution.
It was right? Also
– we should find some tape, Brandon.
It was
you
also –
go back and find some good ones.
In comparison to the human pick six, Matt Schaub, who was the alternative to Case Keenum at the time, he was a lot more fun to watch.
There was – I do believe this is – 2 years ago, there might have been some Tony Romo comparisons thrown around at one point.
Poor man's Tony Romo, yeah.
All right.
What kind of poor man?
The destitute man.
No collarbones.
I'm sad because I wanted the Rams to capture Wes's heart. They're moving to L.A.
It's not going
to
happen.
And it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
All right, let's move on. Russell Okung, offensive tackle, former first-round pick of the Seahawks, hit free agency this year, looking to make big money, and he's doing it without an agent. So he's looking to save that 3%. The initial agreement that we heard about, he signed with the Broncos, a 5-year, $53 million deal. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Mr. Claiborne, right?
Yeah.
However, a little digging makes the contract very interesting. Okun signed a 1-year deal worth $5 million. Which includes a 4-year, $48 million team option, a team source told NFL media insider Ian Rappaport. Zero guaranteed money. So the Broncos later confirmed the deal. So this almost feels like, and I hope it works out for Russell Okung, but feels like a cautionary tale about why it's good to have an agent, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're going against negotiators. They're going against people whose job it is to negotiate big-time contracts. If you're the person on the Broncos side of the ledger, it's like a professional baseball player going up against some Patsy who plays on the weekend. So it's not a surprise
or
that they're going to be excited.
Or shout at our softball team?
Or Master P.
Or Master P. Oh, yeah,
that's like the ultimate bad deal, right? Master P.
Ricky Williams rookie contract that under
said,
Master P.
That said, I think people are piling on this a little too much because a lot of it's coming from the agents.
Yeah,
and they're very self-interested in saying, oh, let's pick on Russell.
There's never going to be a shortage of agents willing to expound on how great having an agent is. And they're always going to be there. And there's guys, you know, Ray Allen did it in the NBA for a while that have made it work. But this is just an example of a guy. Part of it is probably a deal he'd like to have back, and part of it is a guy who's betting on himself.
Right, he is. And it's a little misleading to say there's no guaranteed money. He has $1 million workout bonus, so if he just shows up to his workouts, he's getting paid $1 million.
What if he gets caught in traffic?
Yeah, or he got hurt or something.
Have you considered that he's at a competitive disadvantage in contract talks? Because as a player, he's not allowed to even talk to these teams during the legal tampering period.
Right?
Wow, yeah.
So he had to wait until it started, which started everything late. It's a very similar deal to the one Kelvin Beachum got, which no one's really talking about. He signed a 1-year, $4 million deal. It can go to 5. It's basically the same deal. And then the team has the option to pick up 4 more years. The difference is Beachum basically got his first year is more or less guaranteed. But Okung's a better player. And, yeah, he would have done better. He would have done better if he had an agent. I think it's pretty obvious. But it's a big signing for Denver. We hadn't talked about this move at all just in terms of the signing. Ryan Clady's now out there and probably will get cut or traded. And Russell Okung's a big addition for a team that's lost a lot this week.
They're overhauling their entire offensive line, it seems. They signed Donald Stevenson to play right tackle, moved Ty Sombrello, their second-round pick last year, I think, inside the guard. So looks like they're going to – I think they'll be a run-first team, and they're going to pound the ball.
A team that was barely holding the line together.
Yeah.
Patchwork last year, wound up winning the Super Bowl. So.
Right. It really, the Broncos thing really took care of a lot of cliches about winning the Super Bowl and stuff. Like, you know, it all starts up front. Well, up front they were terrible. They were pretty terrible the whole year, and they were on their fourth and fifth string. And you got to have a quarterback to win in this league. Their quarterbacks were among the worst quarterbacks in the league.
Meanwhile, on the throne of ease, the New England Patriots have yet to give up on getting back that draft pick that they lost, the first-round pick, as part of the Deflategate scandal. Bob Kraft said Monday that he sent a letter to the commish, Roger Goodell, about a month ago, asking for the NFL to overturn the penalties related to last year's deflated football scandal. Here's the quote from Kraft. I personally wrote a letter to the commissioner responding to his comment that if any new facts came up, he would take them into consideration. I personally believe when the league made their decision, they did not factor in the ideal gas law. They admitted that publicly last year. I keep on hearing ideal gas law.
It's one of those things.
How can I take this seriously?
If you say it over and over again, people will think that it has a point.
The ideal gas law. Hey, Rog, did you think about the ideal gas law? Come on.
To this day, the most stunning thing I've seen in the NFL that the Patriots lost a first-round draft pick for throwing a slightly deflated football. Just insane to me that they lost a first-round pick for that.
Oh, that's where you were also arguing with Shaq about the Patriots. You were yelling in the middle of the newsroom with him.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Feisty. See, you're feisty today.
I also got into it with Ely.
There we go.
That's right, over a tweet that went wrong.
We're up to 4.
Okay,
come on.
I don't take any of them seriously. They're all just joking around.
It's feisty, that's all.
I just like that people send letters. I would imagine that a letter to Roger Goodell might get, like, lost or –
I think it's handwritten.
Yeah, it's probably – there's a wax seal where he's talking about the first
round
pick.
Does a raven deliver it?
Yeah.
just,
Hedrick flies through the door.
I like that. Well, the Patriots, they, even if you listen to Kraft talk, he knows they're not going to give him the first round pick. He seems pretty aware of it. I mean, literally at the exact same time as this is happening, the NFL is appealing to overturn the suspension and thinks they're going to win. So why would they change their mind on the punishment just because of new information that's come out?
Other the NFL than, thinks they're going to win?
Well, I don't know if they think they're going to win, but a lot of people watching it think there's a chance that they'll win. And they're battling to do it. Why would you do it if they don't think they're going to win?
I don't know.
Wasting money.
I also saw some tweets about if he were to reverse this decision, this would leave the league open to get maybe questioned on somehow on other levels of this whole mess. So, yeah, I don't think that first-round pick's coming back. In other news, the NFL, you know, listen, it's an American sport.
Right.
But they're looking to make it global.
Breaking.
You love the globe, right, Greg?
I would love to travel. I know you don't like the rest of the world.
I love the world. I love our listeners. I just – traveling, not my favorite thing to do. Like, everyone's, I love to get to, you know, Spain this year. I'm okay.
Have you ever spent, like, half a day just looking at a globe?
No, have you?
Yeah.
What was your takeaway?
Well, I mean, there are countries that are maybe not where you thought they were, or countries you never heard of. To me, I love globes and maps.
But do you like traveling?
Yes.
Patrick?
I wish I had the money to do it more.
If I could teleport, I'd be huge.
See,
travel.
I'm with you on that, too. And if I knew every language.
Yeah, no, the language barrier is huge. It
scares me, the language barrier.
I rented a car in Costa Rica from some guy named Danny in straight cash. Otherwise, otherwise I would have been completely stranded.
That guy was shady.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the league is returning to Mexico City in 2016, as we already knew. But according to NFL Media's Albert Breer, there could be a regular season game in China as early as 2018, and Germany in 2017. That development on China was first reported by Fox. But that's thinking big.
Well, they tried to do this a while ago. Remember, the Patriots were going to play in China, and then they delayed it, and then they canceled it. I don't know why. The Patriots also had an office in China, which seems bizarre. And that has since closed.
Seems
that's
a little
shady.
A little sneaky evil.
Something like that. They thought it was going to be
got
a big,
an office
big business.
In China.
Do you think there's any chance the Patriots' hidden office in China had legitimate business going on in it? Let's be honest. Let's be fair.
They're trying to grow the game.
Something was
grow
going
some
on.
Grow some fans. There. Well, Germany's got the – if anyone got the raw end of NFL Europe closing, it was Germany. They loved their American football, right. The Rhine Fire. And why haven't we been back there? I want to go to Germany and China.
You're going to Japan next week, right?
That's right.
Worldwide, so, Greg.
But Germany – my brother is actually a German citizen.
Wow.
Damn.
So he could – maybe he could come.
Tell us about your relationship with your brother.
We're close. We're good.
I've never met him.
No?
I've met your parents.
He's not out here too often.
I met your wife, your children.
Yeah, he's not out here too often, but we have a good relationship, you know. It's been some things over the years, but we've always been pretty close.
You know, and Wes, you could speak to this. It's not easy being brothers. I don't know, Patrick, if you have any
older.
It's just tough.
Yeah,
gotta work through some things. It's a lot of work sometimes.
I think there's always that point in any brother and brother relationship, and it all depends on how you go after that point.
That's a good point. That's true.
For some, it's better than the others.
Wait, are we hinting at the brother podcast coming up later this year? Coming up, check out the Brotherly Love podcast. In other news, Darrelle Revis, Under the Knife. This is kind of a interesting story, a little wrinkle that I heard after the original post that we wrote Friday. He's sidelined 2 to 3 months by wrist surgery. An injury reportedly that he suffered his way back as week 3, played through it, didn't really show up on the injury report, which would say, oh, are the Jets going to get banged on this and have to pay a fine? But apparently Revis didn't report the wrist injury at the end of season checkout, and the Jets just found out about it last week, so now he goes under the knife, and he's expected to be ready by training camp. I don't see it. He's a 10-year veteran. I don't see it as a big deal that he's going to miss the offseason training program, but he's your best, highest-paid player. I'd rather Darrelle Revis not have his wrist cut open by surgical tools, but that's what's going on with Darrelle Revis. Any thoughts, anybody?
Well, I if the Patriots had this sort of news, you'd be playing some sort of silly theme song with aliens invading and things crashing. Basically, probably. The Jets don't have a starting quarterback. We're a couple weeks into free agency. Their best player, which they're paying $17 million to be a B-minus facsimile of what he was last time he was with the team, now is undergoing surgery.
Don't forget that their franchise player has a broken leg and may or may not be ready for week one or may or may not be traded.
Ooh, that's another one. That's good. Do we have any – we got to come up with some Jets crap. Well, maybe not.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
I mean, I'd be totally fine if you want to work with Brandon towards some type of Jets drops. I know you don't like drops.
It's called a production element.
Yeah, production element. That Wes doesn't like that name. I'm wide open, and
okay.
I can deal with it.
All right.
You can spoon it out and take it, you know, that whole thing. Moving on. Hugh Jackson – the Browns are connected with Robert Griffin III now. He visited with the team. Griffin, of course, visited with the Jets a week earlier. Hugh Jackson called it a great meeting, the coach of the Browns. I think he's obviously a tremendous talent and a great young man, he told Steve Wyche, our own Steve Wyche. I'm going to get into this a little later in our Darkest Timeline discussion, but I'm just thinking, seeing what you guys think, is that – Is this a move that the Browns should seriously consider? Do they want to be the team that tries to fix Robert Griffin III?
Yeah, why not? I mean, considering the way things have gone, and like we mentioned the possible Darkest Timeline implications, but why not? You've gone into what? with hope that Johnny Manziel will be your starting quarterback. So
yeah, but how did that work out? What do you mean, why not? The why not would be, what is Robert Griffin, you know, Robert Griffin III's 2014 season would be why not, and then him getting benched last season.
Well, he got benched, and we can say that those circumstances around his benching aren't really parallel to other benching circumstances in the NFL.
What, using a concussion as an excuse to bench a guy, basically? Well, that's how I kind of
– what are you saying, Greg, about the organization?
Well, I'm not saying anything about the organization. I'm saying they wanted to play Kirk Cousins. I don't think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, they didn't want to play RG3.
Right.
Also, and so those two things.
I don't think they could play RG3. He's a broken quarterback.
And so if you're taking a chance, you're going to take a chance on anybody, whether you draft somebody, whether you bring in RG3. But I think there is at least some video evidence that RG3 can be a serviceable quarterback in the National Football League.
Playbon's still buying in on RG3. I like
it.
That video
I'm
evidence
intrigued
is
by
a
him.
Years old, few years old.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by him, but he's not physically the same player anymore.
Well, who is?
Well, I think you could make the argument that he relied on that physical ability and more than other quarterbacks, and if you diminish that by 15-20%, then you take away a lot of his game. I'm more worried about this. Look, coaches, I don't think they have some weird agenda with RG3. They're just desperate to keep their jobs, and they did not think RG3 could help them keep their jobs, Mike Shanahan and Jay Gruden.
No, Mike Shanahan is still mad.
Right.
Obviously, at RG3, he has the blood feud going on. He'll go
RG3
on.
Has more reason to be mad at Shanahan than
sure.
Bucky Brewster.
For sure. You've got Shanahan going on John's radio AM 4:30 in Hoboken to talk about how awful RG3 is.
Not to mention putting him on the field with a busted leg.
The Browns would have to be very anxious, even if they really were sold on RG3 and liked the idea about just adding this sort of guy as their quarterback again, like this big story that's not necessarily that a real starter in the NFL, like just getting back on that after the 2 years with Johnny.
In other news, Chris Johnson will remain with the Arizona Cardinals. NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Thursday that Johnson will return to the Cards on a one-year deal worth $3 million. Rappaport also reported Johnson turned down nearly double that amount for another team. The Dolphins were interested in Chris Johnson. The Dolphins are interested in a lot of running backs that aren't signing with the Dolphins. at what point should friend of the podcast Mike Tannenbaum get worried, Greg, that they might not get a running back in this market?
On one hand, it's embarrassing. I mean, they wanted C.J. Anderson. They didn't get him. They wanted Chris Johnson. They didn't get him. Supposedly, Chris Johnson turned down more money from Miami to go play for the Cardinals, which is also embarrassing. On the other hand, I like Jay Ajayi. Like, is Jay Ajayi worse than Lamar Miller? I don't know.
I knew you'd get a Lamar Miller and crack in there somehow.
Is he worse than Lamar Miller? I don't know. I thought he looked pretty good. I don't know why they're so – I guess you need more than just Jay Ajayi. That's obvious. But I wouldn't be – if of all the things the Dolphins could panic about – Dolphins fans, rather, this would not be high on my list.
Shocking that the Dolphins were chasing a big name again.
Right.
I don't
know.
To me, like,
things.
The Cardinals get credit because when no one wanted Chris Johnson, they took a chance on him. They had to recoup his value, and now a team like the Dolphins, which is kind of run backwards, they're going to go get him after the Cardinals recouped his value. I don't know. To me, if you're smart, get him the year before he recoups his value, not the year after.
Any team that is partly owned by Gloria Stefan, or really any member of the Miami Sound Machine, it's just you have to wonder, like, where are they coming from? Is it the right angle when you're trying to build a championship ball club?
I just like that Chris Johnson is supports the was good at football and video evidence theory that you know, this guy.
Well, he was good last year.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
And before that, was a guy whose skills had diminished. Wait. We were concerned if he was going to be able to continue. And then it turns out he's pretty good. And then his rookie backup turns out to be the most explosive cat we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that's fair. Of all the things, like, the Dolphins seem a little backwards on a lot of things. Another one was something I read over the weekend that they anticipate Andre Branch will be their starting defensive end. And Cameron Wake, who they are paying an outrageous amount of money to keep, will be coming off the bench.
What?
Well,
he's 34 years old coming off
the bench. Sounds bad the way you put it.
Well, the fact that they were stuck in a corner and they felt like they had to keep Wake because of his contract.
Nobody puts a Stefan in the corner.
In the end, basically, you watched Olivier Vernon and Derek Shelby leave while you're signing Mario Williams, Andre Branch, and paying Cameron Wake a ton of money. It just seems like a weird thing, when you take it all as one big group.
Could phrase it as Cameron Wake's not a good run defender, so they're going to use him on obvious passing downs, which you would do for a 34-year-old pass rusher.
Or you could just find a way, or you could just have cut him.
Or you could have kept Olivier Vernon.
By the way, how obvious?
I mean, wow. I mean, they made a decision to keep him for all that money. That's all I'm saying.
As a situational pass rusher, that, you know, those guys warrant some money, right?
Why wouldn't you cut?
I think he's the highest paid player on the team, other than Tannehill and Sue.
Why wouldn't you cut Cameron Wake and make a bigger effort to re-sign Olivia Vernon?
That's what I'm saying. Or even Derek Shelby. Keep, you know.
By the way, how obvious is it going to be when in about a month or two the Dolphins make a way too big offer for Arian Foster? Big old name brand. Give me that big old name brand. I want that shiny toy. Yeah. Finally, some very sad news out of Baltimore Ravens camp. Cornerback Trey Walker died Friday from injuries he sustained in a dirt bike crash in Florida on Thursday night. He was 23 years old. Walker did not play much last season, but he was born in 92, attended Miami Northwestern Senior High School, was teammates with Teddy Bridgewater and Amari Cooper, but unfortunately he passed away on Friday. And very sad day for the Ravens organization.
Yeah, really sad. It's one of those stories, like, if he was a guy that we knew more, it's like then that suddenly would be some huge, some much even bigger NFL story. But we didn't know much. But either way, just listening to the people on the team that interacted with him and Teddy Bridgewater, just like the impact that this kid made on their lives, I still think – I don't know. It's always a bummer.
Yeah.
Of course. I think it's stating the obvious, but it's sad.
And there's so many times where something like this happens and you get to know somebody kind of post-mortem, and you find out things like his father passed away right after he was drafted. He dedicated his rookie season to him, and it's just that family's gone through so much. And at the very least, we get to find out about somebody we might not have, you know, been aware of, unfortunately, coming through his death, though.
Yes. All right, so that's it for the news. We want to talk to Mark Sessler about the NFL annual meeting visit there, ask him if he's done any jogging there. But before we do that, let's hit a little 8 o'clock sunshine. Speed round, Patrick Claybaugh.
8 o'clock okay. Delight.
Speed
Come
round.
On.
Oh, wait, kill the music. I want to set it up right.
Oh, wow.
8 o'clock delight.
Delight.
Writing it down so it gets in my head forever. And now let's do it. It's a speed round, Patrick Claibon. 8 o'clock delight. yes, Darrelle Revis had surgery. So did Joe Hayden, the Browns cornerback, recovering from ankle surgery. This is the last thing you want to hear, right, Wes? No more bad news for the Browns.
They're saying he might not be ready for week one. That's a concern.
Oh, my God. Former Jets wide receiver Jeremy Curley signed a one-year deal with the Detroit Lions. No more Megatron problem, right, Patrick Claibon?
No, it's our – we just lose one of the best to ever do it, so we got Jeremy Curley now. Everything's all good.
Curl bomb. James Starks, the running back, took a look around in free agency and decided he's going to stick with the Packers. A two-year, $6 million deal, Greg Rosenthal.
I feel like James Starks will be the backup running back in Green Bay for the end of time, the rest of eternity.
Doesn't seem like a bad gig.
No.
Jaguars have hired defensive coaching legend Monty Kiffin, the godfather of the Tampa 2, is a 76-year-old man. Is that too old, Wes, to be coaching in the NFL?
If you say so.
What do you think, Greg? 76? Too old?
I don't know. His defenses looked pretty old the last time he was in the NFL. Not a lot of success for old Monty.
Still got it.
Just saying.
Still got it, Monty.
Now known as Lane's dad. That's sad.
We've come full circle.
That's true. Steve Belichick is a guy. That's not Bill Belichick. The Patriots have promoted him to safeties coach. His oldest son.
Championship. Forget Josh McDaniels. Now we got the succession plan. It goes right to Steve Belichick when Steve-o. Bill retires.
Everybody should check out Mark Sessler's high-octane profile on Steve Belichick from a year or two ago. Just Google that bad boy.
Right.
Steve-o.
Yeah.
Sesslo in a big spot. Love it. Succession plan. Love it. Don Aponte. Ooh, this is an interesting thing. Greg had some hot take downstairs. Don Aponte of the Dolphins says we will – there will absolutely be a female GM one day. Greg,
well, you're hitting me at the end of the speed round for this. This is a nuanced conversation.
You need to get it exactly right in 30 seconds. You say there will be a U.S. president before a female GM.
Well, that seems obvious because we have a favorite that's a female. But, I said some of the obstacles, I think, to become female president might be even lower than it would be to female GM.
I thought you were
that's
talking about
it would be.
Team president.
No, I was talking about the U.S. president.
All right.
The obstacles are the same, I guess, for both.
They're similar.
I mean, the NFL, we still got a way to go. It's kind of an old boys club still.
That's a tough business. Whoever.
So is America.
Whoever. Yeah, that's true. Whoever is the first female GM will have earned it. That's for sure. She'll have to battle through a lot of BS.
Let's hear more on women's issues, Greg. How much time do we have left, Brandon? Just a little bit. All right. Tell me about your thoughts on women, Greg.
I thought the Indian Wells president way out of line.
There we go. Nailed it.
8 o'clock delight complete. Wow, he got bailed out by the music there.
Another Miami Dolphins owner that reminds me, you know, Serena and Venus Williams.
Both Williams
doing
sisters.
Doing a great job in ownership.
Fergie. Estefan. I don't know if anybody else from the Miami Sound Machine, but it's a real interesting thing that's going on down there in Miami.
I don't know as many Sound Machine members as I should.
Do you know any besides Gloria Estefan?
Negative.
I don't think
Carl Peters
does.
On keyboard.
Wasn't Gloria
Tony Ritchie on drums? I don't know. These are all
you had me.
Claibon, believe that.
I was heated up.
Gloria Estefan's husband was in Miami Sound Machine.
I think you're absolutely right.
Claibon's going to be the co-host on Dan's Gullibility podcast.
No, absolutely.
Coming up later this offseason.
With two spoons, I ate that.
Only at NFL.com. All right, let's get the quiet storm on the horn. Mark is in Boca Raton for the NFL annual meetings, talking to people, writing up copy. Mark, you there, buddy?
I am present. How are you?
Doesn't that sound like a guy at peace and at ease right now?
Is that what I am?
Well, Dan was talking. He posited the theory, and I think there's a lot to it, that this sort of day, this sort of week is Mark Sessler in his element. A sunny locale, some intrepid reporting. You're on your own.
Not some cubicle under fluorescent lighting.
Might be a couple drinks at night. You know, there's just a little bit of everything to make the Sizzler sizzle.
I think it's a great event. I mean, of all of them, I certainly enjoy coming here. It's very different than the other ones. I think from a job angle, kind of an emerging storyline this week for some of the reporters is that the league, whether maybe it's just the layout here at the hotel, the league has done a nice job, probably from their angle, of getting the NFL coaches and GMs as far away and decentralized from writers as I've ever seen in the 4 years that I've been here. So,
No, I was just going to say, you've shared stories in the past of, like, seeing Bill Belichick in his swim trunks and flippers heading towards the pool in the lobby, things like that. You're not as many cameos.
Well, they're certainly here. I think that's another element to it. They're here on vacation with their wives and kids, and there is a little bit of that. But I think the one that Greg and I went to when we went jogging together and shared such a special time, the layout there was particularly helpful for reporters. I think this place that we're in, I think it was built in the early 1900s, and it is a giant, like, labyrinthian maze. And it takes about, 10 minutes to walk from where we're working to where these guys are sort of floating around. So it's the same deal. It's you got like Jay Glazer at a chair just holding court with, like, multiple coaches at the same time. But if you're just a run-of-the-mill beat writer, you have got to hustle. You're going to have to work hard. So there's certainly a caste system among the journalists. There is no question.
So who you been talking to with today?
I talked to Jason Light today, the Bucks GM. Nice guy. Takeaways from him, I think he's very optimistic about this team. And one takeaway I'd have is that he seems very into the idea of Dirk Cutter taking over. And he basically, having come from Arizona, he compared him in many ways to Bruce Arians, saying that his time has come a little later than people thought, but also from the elements of an offensive mind. He just seems to have, like, great respect for both of those guys. And so along the fact that they re-signed, they have their backfield in place. They're just on an offense. They seem to be very encouraged about what's happening on offense. Of course, I had 3.5 minutes with him, so I did not, like, dig into the deep intertwinings of his, like, soul and what's happening.
Like, him and Adam Schefter are, like, walking through a meadow outside the castle. Well, you're getting 3 minutes.
How many minutes did you have at Nipper's back room?
That place is a horrid. I mean,
Wait, what is that?
It is. I basically shared with Wes that where they've, we're stationed not here at this hotel. We're at a different one. It's certainly a nice hotel, but there's, a limited array of options at night because everything down in Boca Raton essentially seems to close at 10 p.m. And I didn't want to assume, but I asked the cab driver, is that because a lot of people here are extremely old? And they said, yes, it is. That is one large reason behind it. So there's this place kind of close to our hotel up the highway called Nippers, which apparently is open till 5 a.m. And I came in on Saturday night kind of late, so I thought, let's give this place a shot. It's like the only place with lights on. But it was an absolute debacle. So I was there for about 15 minutes. And went back to the hotel room. And there's not been a lot of nightlife elements to report up till now.
What's interesting to me, too, though, is, like, knowing your nightlife habits, you kind of like bars that are a little, off the beaten path, that maybe aren't in the best physical shape and nothing too glossy about them. You like a place that's kind of like a hole in the wall. But Nippers, even by that standards, was not acceptable.
Yeah, I think your assessment is 100% correct. I do like those places, but what they have to have is a little bit of mystery, history, a little bit of class to them, something about them that's a little strange. This had none of that.
No intrigue, like, at Nippers.
No. It's just like a room with a window and, like, a bad pool table and a bartender that definitely did not want to be there. So I, not really making my top 100 list of Boca Raton hotspots.
There are certain bars, some would say almost every bar, that if you order a cocktail, you don't ask for, like, the lemon slice or the lime slice,
right?
Because it's not up to code in terms of the cleaning process. Nippers sounds like a place you would never get the fruit in the drink.
That is, you've already felt the vibe of this place. I would never drag any of you to this place. I would never eat there. I would never drink there again.
What if it's 4:15 a.m.?
Well, Wes, in that case, that's, I hear where you're coming from. That's another option, but it's still very low on the list. Get some water from the sink.
What's some other big storylines out there since you've been in Boca Raton?
Got the big coach's breakfast coming up the next 2 days.
Why is that so early?
I think that will help to get really digging with those guys tomorrow. There hasn't really been, like, an explosive storyline as far as I could see at this point. But it's a matter of, like, a lot of these new teams where they have new coaches and stuff. I think that you can sort of sense they're starting to hit the ground. They're starting to get, like, their sea legs under them and feeling good about their teams. They're just, this is a time of year where every one of these teams feels extremely optimistic. I mean, even the Browns are walking around that way. You know, Reggie McKenzie, there were like six or seven people trying to get interviews with him. He's very popular all of a sudden. So, you know, maybe some of these young teams are just starting to get turn the corner and get some attention.
Hey, Mark, it's Patrick Claibon. These guys were walking into the studio. The door didn't close, and I ran in and took your chair.
I like it.
Yeah, man.
This is excellent.
You got to be proactive. You talked about a no explosive storyline. Do you think that helps maybe with, like, the breakfast setting and getting some guys to open up and actually give you some stuff?
That's a good news anchor question.
Yeah, I think so, because there's certainly ground to cover with all these people. And I think it's because there has been, you know, limited access up to now. And when you ask, you know, you reach out to the PR guys, you say, can we talk to a coach? All they'll say is, well, if you're going to be at the breakfast, that's your opportunity. So they're trying to hold a lot of the coaches back till then. But a lot of the beat writers and stuff have gotten, I would say, big nuggets, you know, the major elements out of, you know, the general managers, because they meet with them kind of privately. It's usually Monday morning. But, yeah, there's no doubt, because you have a full hour. And, you know, everyone bum rushes like a Rex Ryan for the first 20 minutes. But with any of these guys, you then have another, you know, 40 minutes to sit down and really, sometimes some of the best stuff happens at the end when they're getting tired of it and they want to go and they start to get loose with their lips and everything comes out. And so who knows what could happen.
Wow.
I like that.
Now that felt like a promise, Sessler, that you're going to drop a bomb around 8 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow.
Well, I need to produce something.
You've been doing fine, and it's not your fault there's no rules, Pop. I mean, the reason we'd normally at this time would be talking about all the different rules that they're going to be debating. But the reality is we can talk about that Wednesday when we get the final words, but they're not very interesting this year. They're not big rules changes. They're minor tweaks.
Once they begged off on making any catch rule changes, it kind of removed the intrigue.
The press conference today was just explaining the catch rule again, which we've
tried
before.
You're absolutely right. And I've told Wes for multiple reasons that this would not be if I were to outline and craft an event for Wes to be at, this would not be it for multiple reasons. But number one might be, had he been in that press conference when that, you know, Dean Blandino was going through game tape and trying to explain why the catch rule still makes some sort of human sense, I think Wes would have gotten out of his chair and started to set people on fire. So,
if Wes, putting Wes in
set
a room.
Set people on fire?
I think Wedgies would have been administered.
Murder escalated quickly.
If Wes was in a room with the competition committee as they're explaining the catch rule, I think there's a good chance Wes is not working in the NFL by the end of that day.
Also, I couldn't possibly understand the catch rule because I'm so dim-witted. I have to have it explained to me over and over again.
Mark. Seems to be their take is, like, we're just going to try to make the public realize that it's their fault they don't comprehend what a catch is.
It's an interesting take when one of the longest tenured head coaches in the NFL has no idea what a catch is.
Finally, Mark, no Greg Rosenthal this year. Will you, A, be jogging, and B, who would you jog with? Or C, could you go solo jogging if necessary?
I will have to go solo. I've been to I'm in a hotel. I will make it say it softly. It's not next door to this place. So there's no one there that I've ever even heard of. So I'm there by myself, and I've been to the gym a couple times. Wow. And not ventured outside yet. It's not really – there haven't been a lot of daylight leisure hours for me to go do that at this point. So, you just go to the hotel gym and you do what you can.
Well, good intrepid reporting as always. Mark Sessler, you could find out more about Mark's journey at Mark Sessler NFL and also on Instagram at Mark.
Well, my name, I believe.
Okay. All right, buddy. Enjoy your trip and keep up the good work.
All right. I let Patrick's debut too. Goodbye, guys.
Later.
See ya.
Thanks, man.
Everybody's liking it. You get the news anchor in the chair in a big spot, and away we go. I wanted to talk about Vegas, but I don't have time. Maybe we'll talk about it on our next show. So let's go and get into our final topic of the day, and that is a segment that we like to call The Darkest Timeline. Now, let me explain what the darkest timeline is. This is where we are going to each bring up a plausible scenario, involving one of the 32 NFL teams, that if it were to come to fruition, that team's chances in 2016 would be really significantly dimmed in terms of having any chance to be successful and certainly to compete for a Super Bowl trophy. Now, again, this needs to be a scenario that is kind of in the winds right now, something that could actually play out. So we will start. Why don't I start just to get it going with, and I'll talk about the Jets because the P scale. Yeah, listen, the P scale. It's at 7.5 now. I'm worried about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and that is the darkest timeline. Ryan Fitzpatrick signs elsewhere. Mm-hmm. They get behind Geno Smith as the Jets' week one starter, which the owner and GM have both not necessarily, you know, brushed off as something that can happen. And I think in that case, gangrene would be doomed to a miserable season. Would test my fan. It would be a very hard season to watch. I'm so far out on Geno Smith now. And Mike Maccagnan all of a sudden would go from golden boy to the guy that blew a season by getting too cute with the quarterback position. That is the Jets' darkest timeline right now.
I don't think he went dark enough.
Yeah, that's
– you didn't even cover the Muhammad Wilkerson trade.
Ooh, get rid of Wilco.
What, that
– Oh, he's out the door. He's traded in this scenario. Darkest timeline.
So they – I kind of – okay, in that case
– he's starting for the Oakland Raiders this year.
They make a decision to get younger and try to free up some space. Yep, yeah, Mo Wilkerson being traded. That's pretty dark too. Listen, I know how it is with the Jets, too.
Sorry I put you in that place.
No. I was just looking into Dan's eyes. He went to a like, spot there.
He was looks like, distraught.
He was like, oh, yeah, that is darker. Unbelievable.
With the exception of the first two Rex Ryan years, the Jets cannot put together back-to-back quality seasons. So I'm fully,
oh, no,
fully ready and prepared if things go back to hell again this season. And, yes, if we have no Mo and no Ryan Fitzpatrick, no hope. The darkest timeline of the New York Jets, Patrick Klavan.
I want to say, though, when Mike Maccagnan says that Geno Smith had a good offseason for them last year and it wouldn't be the end of the world if he's their starter, I think he's telling the truth. I mean, I was excited.
Whoa.
I don't think Geno Smith, if you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick's career and you look at the skills that Geno Smith showed, even in the minimal amount that he played, I don't think he's a much lesser quarterback or lesser at all.
Wait, but you are incredibly biased. You're the only person in America who still believes in Geno Smith.
I'm not the only.
I don't know if he's the only person.
All right. I don't think believe in him necessarily. I just think he can be the 23rd best starter in the league or whatever.
Ooh, he could.
And
also
that's
be
about
the 23rd.
What I would expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to be this.
I don't know that Geno ever had the talent around him in New York that Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, of
did.
Course not. And that's not to mention Chan Gailey. Not to mention having Chan Gailey around him.
Stop. First of all, 23rd best quarterback. That's not right.
What? I'm saying for next year. I'm not expecting
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He could also
be the 53rd best.
I'm not expecting Ryan Fitzpatrick to repeat his season. You know who else is Mike Maccagnan. Because if they thought he could repeat it and that he's just a great starter, he'd be signed.
Well, that's not necessarily true because what's complicating this, and maybe it hasn't been talked about enough, is that the Jets have, like, no money to spend. So they feel like they have to play hardball here because there's only one other team in the league that has less cap room than them right now. So it's a couple issues that are all coming together here. Maybe they're still playing it right, but it could end very dark. And now Patrick Klavan.
Well, I've channeled my Mark Sessler and I started thinking about the Cleveland Browns and the potential for the darkest timeline with them. They've got Sashi, they've got Paul. Everything is trending up.
Sashi.
We're training. Mm-hmm. We're training towards a future, and we decide that RG3 is not going to be a good option. Neither will Cap, and we're going to reach for a familiar face in Brian Hoyer, who will be available.
Oh.
And in the face of all this change, you say, we're looking forward to the future, everybody. You can believe now Brian Hoyer's
back. They're bringing back Cleveland Springsteen.
Yeah. And the rocket never gets off the ground. And it just detonates there on the launch pad.
Did you guys see the news item that Waze, now if you put into
Google
their
Maps, yeah.
What's that?
Wasn't it Google Maps?
Google Maps or whatever it is. If you search sadness in their app, like directions to sadness, it takes you directly to the Browns home stadium.
That's awful. That's unfair unless Brian Hoyer comes back.
Yeah, I think you probably have to live in Cleveland legitimate. For that to work. I don't even know. But there's this feeling like, oh, let Hugh Jackson fix whoever they get. That's going to work. And yet that feels like Hoyer, that there wouldn't even be optimism for that.
The only thing I will say about that, and I don't know if how plausible that is in the sense that has there been any whispers about Brian Hoyer?
It's as dark as it gets, Dan.
It's dark.
It's just dark.
I think what would be even darker was if they did, because they've met with Robert Griffin III. Now, if they thought that they would be the team that could fix RG3, re-signed him, and then somehow talked themselves out of taking a quarterback in the first round, then we're talking about an epic dark timeline where RG3 is terrible because he's not the same guy anymore, and then you don't even have a backup plan because you got you bought in too hard on RG3's 2012 season. It's a lot of ways. There's a lot of directions to go when it comes to darkness in Cleveland, I guess.
For sure.
Chris Wessling, you're up, baby. Get feisty.
Well, there's a team here that's being called a Super Bowl contender because of what they've done in the offseason, and I think it could go the other way. The Houston Texans. Let's talk about a dark timeline. Okay, the team that benched their starting quarterback three quarters into the 2015 season.
Not like in December three quarters, literally three quarters of one football game.
Yes. Let's say by halfway through the season, they come to realize, wait, we basically just signed a more expensive Mike Glennon.
Ooh.
Brock Osweiler is not the answer. He's the guy who got benched for a broken down Peyton Manning. This is what we're left with. We're not a Super Bowl contender. In fact, we don't even have a franchise quarterback. Yeah. We're back to square one. We might have to turn back to Hoyer.
And your cap is wrecked because you got – I mean, it could
you
be –
You got him on the books for next year, too, at $18 million.
And we also found out that several Dolphins coaching staffs were right all along. Lamar Miller, not a foundation back, purely a fast role player. Now we got to play Jonathan Grimes for half the snaps again.
Texans getting lanced.
Well, that's the thing. You create potentials for dark timelines when you put yourself out there. That's
plausible.
What they did this year. They put themselves out there.
They did, and we they talked about that at the time of the Brock move, that if this does not work out, it could be a historically terrible contract that could set the team back multiple years. I mean, that's how much is riding on this move. And everyone's, you know, would lose their job in the building. It would be an absolute mess. That's dark, Wes.
Gets darker.
Darker?
There's two offensive linemen they introduced before Brock Osweiler at the press conference. One, the Chiefs didn't want Jeff Allen. Didn't even want him anymore. The second one, Bergstrom, your boy Burgo.
Bergs.
Never been a starter in the NFL before. Their offensive line, they've got Dwayne Brown, one of the best left tackles in the league, coming back from major injury. Offensive line is a sieve. Lamar Miller gets tackled in the backfield every time.
Gets darker. And then halfway through the season, J.J. Watt stops playing when he realizes he makes less money than Brock Osweiler.
Ooh.
Just quits.
Wow.
He doesn't have any quit in him, though.
Okay, yeah. He works harder than
anybody.
Nobody works hard.
That last one wasn't that plausible, Greg, but it was
funny.
Oh,
that's right. It's not supposed to be.
It was funny. All right, finally, the boss, Greg Rosen.
Well, this is the darkest timeline for many people. NFL fans around the country, the National Broadcasting Corporation, Al Michaels, Denver Broncos fans and the Denver Broncos in general, that Mark Sanchez is the starting quarterback week one of the NFL kickoff game. And I think this is quite plausible since he's number one on their depth chart right now. In this scenario, the 49ers, they hold on to Colin Kaepernick. In this scenario, the Broncos aren't able to really move up in the draft or make anything great. They end up taking Christian Hackenberg or Dak Prescott in the third or fourth round, but that guy's or maybe late second round. That guy's not starting week one.
Plausible.
Look at who else is out there in free agency. No one that necessarily would start over Mark Sanchez. And there you are, all excited. We got our ring, and Mark Sanchez is our week one starter. Eat that, America.
Why do you hate America?
Well, I'm saying that's not good
against
for America.
Darker.
I love that.
Mark Sanchez.
I love that first game. That reminds me of the year they put the Dolphins against the Steelers in week one for the kickoff. Ooh, it's Ronnie Brown's sophomore year. Let's put that as the first game. You want a big, fat fireworks to start the season, not Sanchez.
It gets darker, too. I think we brought it up on the show previously, but because of all the drama with Brock, we could get a Brock Osweiler, who we always – it's already
true.
Plausible as him being terrible. Brock versus Sanchez for
nine,
Al Chris in the world.
9-7 Texans win on the road.
Ooh, and then their season crumbles after that.
Sure.
But at least we can talk about Brock being mad right? That's the one thing that people would hang on that game. It's like, yeah, we can have a whole week of questions to Brock.
Now you're
about
starting to sound like Damashek.
How mad were you? No, I think that's an awful idea.
I know.
I'm just saying that's what.
What about Shaq? What happened?
It's always about the storyline and the narrative. It's never actually about what goes on the field.
I like having Claybon could be our designated kind of narrative puncture. Hole puncher. That's kind of what you like to do in the things. You hear some BS, you call it out, you poke a hole in it.
Yeah, and you get called a contrarian for it, but I'm like, wait, I'm not smart enough to like think of other stuff that I don't actually think.
You just call it BS. Like, you're more just inquisitive. Yeah. You like to get to the bottom of things.
I like to ask, but why? And it's like, but why would we want to watch Mark Sanchez play against Brock Osweiler?
And one thing, if you're interested in Claybon's opinions on stuff, you should go on Twitter because he is one of the more prolific tweeters in the game, I think, right now.
Thanks, man.
It's a stream of consciousness.
Well, prolific isn't necessarily a compliment. It just means you tweet a lot.
Travis Henry was prolific.
You are good, too, but.
No,
Claybon tweets so much that he tweeted seconds before he got married earlier this month. What was the exact tweet?
It was BRB getting married.
Yeah, it was as he was walking up to the altar. So that's what we're – and you know what?
Good tweet.
That might not sound like, oh, maybe this guy tweets too much. No, but it's a nice – it's a good Twitter account. Yeah. I'd say at Patrick Claybon, you should follow him.
Thanks, man. I met my wife on Twitter, so she's cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you owe a lot to the
– I do.
On its 10th birthday today, I believe it is.
Yeah, happy birthday, Twitter.com.
Patrick Claybon, at Patrick Claybon, news anchor for NFL Network, and now part of the history of the Around the NFL podcast.
Thanks, guys.
And hopefully the future.
I hope so.
Greg, what do you think? You're the boss.
Absolutely. I just carved out a whole role for him.
That's true. That's pretty true.
The Mythbuster?
All right. So that's it for Monday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Mark will not be with us at all this week. Is that?
He will be back for Thursday's show, but we can, if the timing works, we can maybe give him a call on Wednesday to wrap up the meetings as well. He will be back in L.A. for Thursday.
All right, good. So we'll be back on Wednesday. But until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for the anchor, the mailman, the boss, and the Irishman behind the glass. Till Wednesday. Podcast.
Look who's on TV right now.
Yeah, we did it.
Patrick Claybon.
It's magic.
Oh, nice.